And please turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy 17, 18. 2 weeks ago, we left off at the end of chapter 17. We're going to do a couple of verses as a lead into today. Dustin taught God's law concerning kings. As he pointed out, as Dustin taught, God wanted to always be the Jewish king. But God knew that hundreds of years later, they would want a man to be king, to be like the other nations. So he said, so this is what you got to do. If you're going to have a king, then he's got to conform to these requirements, which we're going to end with a little review of the last requirement. And wouldn't it be nice if we had God as our king, our president? And how tragic it is that man, we want man to rule over us. What happens when men rule over us? We become slaves of the tyrant. In every case, throughout all of history, as soon as we want man to rule over us, bad things happen. But if we let God rule over us, then we're free. And even though we are in a country of men ruled and, you know, women ruled and the world's that way, in our heart, there's no king but Jesus. And he will never be a tyrant to us, and we can live to serve him, and we'll be with him forever and ever. And so then this week, we're going to be looking at the forbidden practices of occultism. And the prophetic promise that God was going to send a prophet like Moses. He says, you know, I'm about to die, but God is going to send another prophet. He's going to be like me. And when he comes, you better listen to what he has to say. Who do you think that was? That was Jesus. How many years later? About 1,500 years later. And we're going to see how that prophecy was very important to the Jews, even in Jesus' day. They were looking. When is that going to come? Can you imagine waiting 1,500 years for a prophecy to be fulfilled? Oh, yeah, because we've been waiting 2,000 years for Jesus to come back. But aren't we excited to keep waiting for this promise of Jesus is going to come back? And we're anticipating it. Well, they were anticipating that prophet to come. They're anticipating the first coming of the Messiah in the same way we're anticipating the second coming. So hopefully we'll get there. Deuteronomy 17, 18. A review of what Dustin covered 2 weeks ago. Also, it shall be when he, it's talking about the king, years later, you guys are going to demand a king. You're not going to want me to be your king. You're going to make a man your king. When he sits on the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write for himself a copy of this law in a book. So what is God telling that king to have to write? The Ten Commandments? No. The law was considered Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Grab your Bible. Look how thick that is. Do it when you're young, when you don't have hand cramps and wrist problems, because it's going to take a long time to write it out. And God said, I want every king. When a king comes, the first thing he does is sits down and writes the law out. And while he's writing it, he's having to think about every single word. Wouldn't that be cool? In order to be president of the United States, you have to have lived within the United States for 14 years, be 35 years old, and a natural born citizen that can prove it with a birth certificate. And so then you're here as the king. And then on top of that, and show me your copy of the handwritten law of God. Wouldn't that be something? Too bad they didn't put that in the Constitution. That you had to have a handwritten copy of the Bible, of the law of God. Why? Because it goes on to say, the law of the book, himself a copy of the law, from the one before the priest. Now what's he mean there? The real one. Not the paraphrased versions, not the Message Bible, but the authorized King James, but the Hebrew, the one that God inspired through Moses, that one is, you have to have that good version, the priest of the Levites. And the law shall be with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life. Now, we're not presidents and et cetera, et cetera, but can we apply this to ourselves? So should every father, every man who wants to, you know, marry somebody, raise a family in Jesus, raise children, would it be good for us to have a copy of the Bible? And see now, and to carry it with us everywhere we go. Think about that. This is the Word of God. And so if I'm going someplace and I'm going to have some extra time to read the Bible, and it says that he does it, read it all the days of his life. That means a daily reading plan. And you know, when you do that, you'll be a better God-fearing Christian man or woman. You know why? Because when we don't listen to the mind of God and His law and His ways, His grace, His mercy, New Testament, the whole thing, if we aren't putting that into our minds, what are we going to rely on when we're making decisions and actions in our life? We're going to rely on our own understanding. We're going to rely on, oh, I just follow my heart. Oh, when people tell you that, tell them, oh, no, you don't want to do that. Why? Why? Because the heart is deceitfully wicked, and we can't follow our hearts. The Bible says, don't follow your heart. You got to wait until God gives you a new heart, but you can follow that. But you can't follow the wicked heart. When we rely on our own understanding, then we destroy, because we'll think something's good when God says it's evil. We'll think something's evil when God says it's good, and we're not allowed to do that. And that's why Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health in your flesh and strength in your bones. So we must not rely on our own understanding. Do we have a bunch of people in the world wanting to rely on their own understanding? Anything that they want to call good is good to them. And it doesn't matter if God says it's evil. It doesn't even matter if society says it's evil. They want to rely on their own understanding. And that brings chaos, division, murder, strife. All the evil and all the wickedness in this world is because men are relying on their own understanding instead of the law of God, who created us and made everything good in the beginning. So, and all the days of your life, that he may learn, that he, she may learn to fear the Lord. It's good to fear the Lord, don't you think? Fear the Lord, his God, and be careful to observe all the words of the law and its statutes, that his heart may not be lifted above his brethren. So what does reading the word of God do to us? What does it keep us? Humble. What is it that makes people want to be tyrants? Pride. Servant Satan. That when I read this, I go, oh man, God, that's a good law. I don't always do it. Oh God, help me. And I'm going to just be kind and merciful to other people because you're kind and merciful to me, and God, change me and someday send that Messiah for them. Send that Messiah that will die on the cross for my sins so that I can be a new covenant of you writing the law on my heart as you promised in the book of Jeremiah. And so it keeps us humble. That's what God wants us to do, that he may not turn aside from the commandment of the right hand or the left. Who wants us to get off of the path? Satan. And he's enticing us. No, 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 no. You know, just like the garden. Oh, God said don't eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Well, don't listen to him. He just knows that if you eat of it, you'll be like him. You'll be like God. And so Satan's always on our road. You know, the road of wanting to follow God's ways. And he's saying, no, God doesn't really mean that. He doesn't really say he wants you to stay a virgin until you're married. He doesn't want you to not shack up together. He doesn't want you to do this. You can have fun. Look what everybody else is doing. And then multiple partners, this and that and everything else. And so he's trying to destroy us. We have to understand our own understanding with the deception of Satan can destroy us. And if we listen to God and listen to his ways, as it goes on to say, turn aside from the commandment to the right or the left, and that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. If you do it God's ways, your days will be prolonged. You'll live better. You'll have better history, better emotions. Everything else is going to be better. Now, David, see, this was written way before David, 500 years before David. And do you think David did it? We don't know. Bible doesn't say whether he hand wrote it out. But if he would have handwritten it out, he would have gotten to the part, thou shalt not commit adultery. Right? And so when he's, it says that he's in his bed at night and he gets up to go to the wall to look down and see Bathsheba. So it could have been, hey, get up, light a lamp, read the word of God. Because if it was really stuck in his head, then when he looked over the wall, he would have said, oh, the lust of the eyes. I should turn away and go read the word of God. That thou shalt not. And look at what would have happened if he would have done that. He would have spared the death of Uriah the Hittite. See, he then commits adultery. He then deceives the husband, tries to deceive the husband, Uriah the Hittite, because he's more honorable than David and won't go into his wife on a vacation from home, from the war front. David realizes, you know, okay, so I can't cover up the pregnancy of Bathsheba by having the husband come home to be with her. And so now I'll add to adultery, deception, fraud, I'll add murder. I'll get him murdered. I'll send a note to Joab, the general, stick him in the front lines, pull back, make sure he dies. And then he doesn't even see what happens when we go down that path of sin, because we don't have the Word of God in us. All of a sudden we become self-centered, we become blind, we become calloused to the effects that our actions have taken. So he killed Uriah the Hittite, who was one of David's mighty men. Uriah was a mighty man of David. Eliam was a mighty man of David, and it was his daughter was Bathsheba. And David's counselor that had divine wisdom, Ahithophel, was the grandfather of Bathsheba. And because of all that happened, you know, as you read the story in 2 Samuel, you see over 20,000 Jews die. Civil war happens. David's son rapes one of David's daughters, the son's half-sister. Because sin had come into the home and all these things happened, then Absalom, David's own son, wants to kill David, his father, wants to take over and usurp the throne. All those things are a consequence of what David did. But God forgave him because why? Because he became humble and he came with a broken heart and he said, God, against thee and thee only have I sinned. So once again, reading the Word of God, and we've emphasized this for so long, in this wicked world, if you aren't in a daily devotion reading the Word of God, you're in trouble. Because you're getting so much input from the world, the media, the entertainment, the this, the that, that if you're not countering that with the law of God, then you're going to have your David up on looking over the wall moment sometime in your life. And it's going to destroy you. It's going to create a horrible consequence. Yes, Jesus can forgive us because he does. And he did for David. And we can get humble. But I bet you David would have wished, you know, for all the days of his life, why did I do that? Why did I cause such grief in the country? And so, but he was saved. Bathsheba became in the lineage of Jesus for God to prove that he can forgive anything and anybody if we get humble before him. So, and same thing for Solomon. Solomon would be reading, he had been writing, oh, don't heap unto yourselves wives, don't have too much gold, don't have too many horses. He would have been, oh, okay, so I guess I shouldn't marry all the foreign women that are around here and have 1,000 wives and concubines. I shouldn't be doing that. And see, then he wouldn't have brought idolatry into the country, because that's what he did, because the women wore down his heart and said, hey, you know, man, you know, I want an idol of Milcom. You know, that's our God is Milcom. And another one has Ashtra. Your 200th wife, she got an Ashtra. And I'm a 100th wife. And so I ought to be able to get Milcom. And so Solomon just said, okay, build all the idols you want in the nation of Israel. He would have seen it and been caught. We should be reading the Word of God and let the Holy Spirit catch us every time you're thinking contrary to the Word of God. Stop it. And we go, yes, Jesus, because you're my Lord and Savior. Chapter 18. The priests, the Levites, all the tribe of Levi, shall have no part nor inheritance with Israel. They shall eat the offering of the Lord made by fire and his portion. Therefore, they shall have no inheritance among their brethren. The Lord is their inheritance, as he said to them. Now, for those that are just joining us, never read the Bible, you know, there's 12 tribes of Israel, one of the tribes. You know, Jacob had 12 sons. Each one of those sons was a tribe. One of those tribes was the Levites. God said the Levites are different. They're going to be the preachers of the Word of God. They're going to be responsible for reading, you know, copying, understanding and sharing the Word of God while everybody else is working. And God tells them for the third time in Deuteronomy, they're not supposed to inherit the land. They don't inherit land. They inherit a job. Your job is to preach God and to help the people get right with God. And so he's emphasizing that you shall eat at the way you're provided for is the people who are sacrificing dealing with sin the way God prescribed with the temple service, when they do that, some of what they're provisioned, first fruit offerings of grain and animals and stuff, you get to have some of that so you can eat. So you guys have food and the shelter of a house in a place that you're at. That's your provision. That's it. As long as everybody's doing what the Word of God says. We'll look at that a little bit more. And this shall be the priest's due from the people. The people take care of the priests, of the Levites. And by the way, the priests are descendants of Aaron, who was a Levite. And the other Levites are just assistants to the priests in the service of the temple. From those who offer a sacrifice, whether it is a bull or a sheep, they shall give to the priest the shoulder, the cheeks, the stomach, and the first fruits of your grain, and your new wine, and your oil, and the first of the fleece of your sheep, you shall give him. For the Lord your God has chosen him, chosen the Levites, chosen the descendants of Aaron and the Levitical, the original dad was Levi, has chosen him out of all your tribes, the other 11 tribes, to stand to minister in the name of the Lord, him and his sons forever. So, here's what happens. And not everybody has a Bible. You don't go to the bookstore and buy the Bible. So, the Levites are writing it out. The scribes, Levites, are writing them out, making copies. And they're going through the cities of Israel, where the Jews also had Levitical cities that were there. And so the Levites say, hey, I'm going to read the Word of God. I'm going to tell you what it says every Sabbath. I'm going to teach you the law of God. And as long as the people respect that, they go, okay, we're going to serve God. We're going to do this. We're going to bring our tithes and offerings. The priests are going to live. The people are blessed because the laws of God are good. If you follow them, again, as we've emphasized, there's no jails. There's no broken marriages. There's no single parents. There's no drug use. There's no witchcraft. There's no anything. All the things that cost us so much money in a country that wastes away the financial viability of a nation, which we're, how many trillion dollars? We're $30 trillion now, going up by $10 trillion a year. We're going to all die because, our economy, the economy of the world is going to die because of rejection of God. And so they're going to be so blessed, they're going to be a light on a hill to the people. And so if the people rebel against that, as they do in the book of Judges, you can see it all the time. They don't provide for the Levites. The Levites don't want to teach anymore because they're starving, because they're not even coming to be fed. And so then they'll go like Judges chapter 17, a Levite from Bethlehem, the city of Bethlehem, he's not being provided anymore. So he's looking around for some place that he can be taken care of. And the guy goes, oh, you can be my priest because I just made an idol. And so would you be my idol priest? He goes, oh, sure, no problem. And so then now a Levitical priest is supposed to teach the people no idols. He's going to sit there and be that because he's taken care of. He's now got a job. Does that happen in the world today? That people feel like I've got to govern what I say on a pulpit based on, whether or not I'm going to get enough pay, whether I'm going to be able to have a jet. All that, it goes both ways, right? I mean, the pastors, priests, the pastors can be preaching for bucks. The people can get disgusted. They don't want to have any part of it. Or the people can say, I want you to tell me what I want to hear to say that my heart is good and follow my heart. And, go to a Ouija board during the week to figure out what I'm supposed to do because I didn't hear it from the Word of God because I didn't read it. And so it's such a rare thing that everything works just right. And you can see that in the Old Testament. It works just right. There's people that are responsible for helping people have the fear of God. The people want to have the fear of God. They get blessed, and it's a blessing. But there's so many ways the devil tries to destroy that relationship by the pastors not preaching today, by the pastors not preaching, or the people not wanting to hear it. And I'm just thankful for this church. it's a miracle. It's a miracle that the leadership and everything is all in. We don't care about numbers. We never preach for bucks. We've never passed a plate in this church in 28 years. But God has always been faithful. And I just so rejoice. You don't know, when I go home and I rejoice that there are so many people that they really hear that you really just want to know Jesus in a deeper way. And that might not be everybody here, but you want to know, and you're coming, and you want your families to know that. Do you realize how rare it is for that to be? You know, that most people just want to go get entertained and see the next, you know, smoke show that's on the stage and whatever else. I mean, it's just crazy what people do. And I rejoice that what the Lord has done here today. So we're going to try and keep on preaching Jesus. And then it goes on to say, Deuteronomy 18:6, so if a Levite comes from any of your gates, from where he dwells, and it's talking about one of these Levitical cities, of which there are 48 of them, according to the book of Leviticus and Numbers. Leviticus 25, Numbers 35, you can write that down if you want to look at it more closely about this. If he leaves the gates from where he dwells among all Israel and comes with all the desire of his mind to the place which the Lord chooses, which is Jerusalem, you know, ends up being Jerusalem. So in other words, the Levites are scattered through 48 cities within Israel. And some of those go into the city, maybe other cities, to help people know the Word of God. But if they sit there and go, you know, I'm separated, I would love to just help the sacrificial system down in Jerusalem because people are coming there for sacrifice. The Levites down there are swamped with all the work that it takes to do that. And so they can just leave and go down there. And it says, then he may serve in the name of the Lord his God as all his brethren, the Levites, do, who stand there at Jerusalem before the Lord. They shall have equal portions to eat besides what comes from the sale of his inheritance. So he can sell his house in the city. He'll get it back on Jubilee because he's a priest. He gets it back on Jubilee. But he goes down, and the people in Jerusalem don't say, hey, who said you could come down here? They make him part of the Levitical priesthood to just keep people being able to worship the Lord. And is it important for us to be able to worship the Lord? You know, and the death of this country is really because the churches are not such a big deal. Because of studying the Word. You know, what the first public school systems, what did they teach? What was the book that they did? It was the Bible. And the McGuffey Reader, and they wanted people, children, to be completely aware of what the Word of God said. And then because of evil, wicked people getting into the court system, the Supreme Court rules, no, you cannot have the Ten Commandments, even in school anymore. And you know what the ruling said? And this is a paraphrase. The ruling said, we can't put the Ten Commandments on the wall because the children might read them and actually do them. Now, imagine, oh, okay, so what's wrong? Thou shalt not murder? Oh, they might not murder. They might not commit adultery. They might not steal. They might not bear false witness. They might honor their father and mother. Oh, we can't have that happen. Do you realize that the godlessness that came into our culture, along with the sexual revolution and everything else, we basically said, forget you, God, we're going after Satan and the lust of the pleasures of the world. And we're taking down your laws, and we're going to tell people you can do whatever you want to. And if something bad happens, then we'll kill the children that result from that because of sexual immorality. That was really the turning point of this country. And the judgment is coming, as we're going to see in the scriptures today. So, verse 9, when you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of those nations. Because, again, they're on the east side of the Jordan. They're about to go across the Jordan River into the land of Canaan. The land of Canaan has a bunch of Hittites, Perizzites, Jebusites that are followers of the lusts of the world, sacrificing their children, killing each other, worshiping Satan, doing all the things we're about to read. And do not do these things. Don't even learn how to do these abominations that they do, because it's demonic. It's satanic. And it will destroy you. So, don't learn occultic stuff. What do they do? What do the Canaanites do? There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or one who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. For all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out from before you. Now, you could say, well, you know, isn't that just playing with a Ouija board? That's a game. You can get it at the game store and stuff. Why does God call it an abomination? Because it's satanic. You know what's an abomination to God? Is the deceptions that cause people to choose death instead of life. To choose the evil, wicked Satan who led the angels astray, fell from heaven, and has spent the rest of these thousands of years doing everything to get us to join him in hell. And he hates it when he wins, and he wins through this kind of stuff because there's real powers in occultism. And so this is really, it's saying get rid of occultism. Let's start with verse 10 again. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire. And yeah, truth alert here. In fact, somebody was telling me that they had a relative that was leaving a church because the pastor wouldn't even deal with what happened with this Roe v. Wade decision by the Supreme Court. But you know, we got to teach the truth in love. So let's play truth here. Because what is the mantra? What is all the media, which is controlled by the godless God haters in the world? Does everybody realize that? All the major media, they hate God. They hate his law. If you listen to them and you listen to their talking points, you are being deceived by the enemy of your soul. What is their talking point? This, including the president, is the talking point is they removed the constitutional right that we have had for 50 years. Is that the truth? I could read the Constitution. I passed reading comprehension in school. And I've read the Constitution, and it does not say that anybody has the right to kill another human being. Oh, now that brings up a point. Is that really, talking about my body, my right, is that the truth? No. Because what's inside there, from the moment that egg gets fertilized by the sperm of a man, what happens when that sperm and egg come together, sharing chromosomes, from the two, what happens to that? Brand new life. That is life. That is actually another human being. And there it isn't full grown yet, but you don't feel like killing your kid when he's a teenager because he's not an adult yet. I mean, you want to. Some are going, what do you mean, Kevin? So. See, God's not finished with all of us yet. But what a lie. I was there in 73. They had everybody had to go through a mandatory assembly until the entire high school had all heard it's legal now. And it's just like getting an appendix out. It's no problem. You got a problem, you guys hook up and you get pregnant, not a problem. Just go to the abortion clinic and it'll be taken care of. It's just cutting out an appendix. That was what they said. Was that the truth? No, it's a lie. So we have to understand that Satan inspires sexual immorality. And see, the Canaanites would worship sex idols. So they go to the high place, and they have their little orgies, and they smoke smoke marijuana or whatever else they want to do, get into Satan's world of thinking. They have a fling. And so the offspring was actually considered, we have this offspring to dedicate to Satan. And so then they would cause their children to, it was just not even a question. They had to wait until it was born, and then they would pass it into the fire. They would, Molech, they would put, heat them up and put the babies in the arms. We think, how in the world could somebody actually do that? But when Satan gets hold of people's lives, they can do the most unimaginable things. And so what happens is that people that follow Satan, when they give their lives over to Satan, Satan keeps asking more and more from them. And this is talking to the chaplains of South Sudanese military. I told them, educate me on witchcraft in this country. And before you get into the rest of this, they would say, there's witch doctors all around here. And what people want to do, it's like a parent will have the kid come from school and say, you know, Sally, she just really gave me a hard time and she got a better grade than me and the teacher likes her more. Oh, okay. They go to the witch doctor. And they pay the witch doctor to put a curse on Sally. And if it's a, and see, witch doctors manipulating demons because they've done things for the demons that the demons have told them they have to do. And in exchange for whatever they give to the demons actually make things happen. They put a witchcraft curse on the children or the husband or the wife or whatever. They'll pay the witch doctors and they get performance by that because the spiritual world is there. If you don't have the protection of Jesus, people can, as we become more and more of a demonic witchcraft culture, which we are, thanks to Harry Potter and Frozen and all this other stuff, and thanks to Disney, we're becoming a witchcraft culture. And people will be casting spells. And things will happen. But, and then what do the demons want? Children. They will go to a witch doctor and say, I want you to bless my shop so I get as much business as this one next door. Well, you got to do this. And then you start your relationship with Satan. You start getting some business. And then now I want you, and they ultimately get to child sacrifice. That's what they do. And what is our culture doing? We're sacrificing children, even with the jab stuff. I mean, it's like the leaders of the world are serving the coming kingdom of the Antichrist, Satan. And so when they get in their Illuminati meetings and their Bohemian Grove meetings and these other meetings, and they're really receiving the wisdom and the powers of Satan to bring about the global government of the Antichrist. What is Satan demanding? I want you to kill people. I want you to kill children. I want you to kill. And I'll show you how to kill. And I want you to start a war. I want you to ignore because I'm going to bring about a man-made utopia with no God. I'm going to bring a peace to the world. Satan promises peace and he's going to give death to the point where Jesus said, if he waited any longer, there'd be nobody left. The Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. There is such a powerful spirit of the Antichrist in our culture, in our world today. And we have to know, oh, it's just not that politician. We got to get rid of him. There is a strong delusion that is upon us. And we have to protect our own families against this powerful delusion by what? Reading the Word of God, being born again, protected by His Spirit, because greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world, to protect our children, to stay out of the devil's world in every single way. So, then the second one is he who practices witchcraft, like I just told you. And by the way, we do have that interview with the chaplains on our website, calvarypo.org. Go to our YouTube channel. Look at more popular ones. There's been a couple, three, whatever, thousand people that have watched that one. And I encourage you to watch that interview. The real live examples. It's coming here. It's already here. We just might not have seen it yet. And so let's turn to Numbers chapter 22, verse 5 for this one. And this is about a witch doctor that his name was Balaam. And he had such powers of cursing that if you gave him enough money, he would put a curse in. Everybody knew, the nations knew, that witch doctor, Balaam, if he curses, those people get cursed. If he blesses, they get blessed. And so the Moabites, East, you know, Jordanians, and the Arabians, the Midianites, they saw the Jews, the 40 years wandering around in the wilderness, is, you know, 2 million people walking around, and they're afraid. They're afraid they're going to attack us, even though God told the Jews, don't attack the Moabites. They're afraid, and they're saying, hey, let's just get this witch doctor and put a curse on him and kill them all. And so they hired Balaam, chapter 22, verse 5. Then he sent messengers to Balaam, the son of Beor, at Pethor, which is near the river in the land of the sons of his people, to call him, saying, "Look, a people has come from Egypt. See, they cover the face of the earth and are settling next to me. Therefore, please come at once, curse this people for me, for they are too mighty for me." Imagine this. My army cannot defeat these people, but I can hire you, and you can put a demonic curse on them, and that will get them, because that's what your reputation is. "Perhaps I shall be able to defeat them and drive them out of the land, for I know that he whom you bless is blessed, and he whom you curse is cursed." So the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the diviner's fee. That's another one of the items here. So it's diviner and a witch doctor, and some of these are really synonyms. They're very similar in their hand. "And they came to Balaam and spoke to him the words of Balak. And God would not allow him to curse the Jews. But after it all is all over," and it goes on for chapters, you should read the whole account if you haven't. But what he does, and we find this out from the New Testament and a little bit later on in Numbers, is that he told the people, "I can't curse them. God won't let me. But I'll tell you this, you send your floozy women in there to entice the guys, and then God will judge them." And so that's what they did. And so then it was a big orgy. You know, all the women came in from the Midianites and said, "Hey, I don't know that your wives and women are as hot as us, and we're ready to go." And so all of a sudden the men are off into porn, orgies, everything, and judgment falls upon the nation of Israel. So guys, and actually women, remember, Satan can do the same as Balaam in all the technologies that are available to us today. Think about that. You know, Satan says, "Man, you know, they're Christians. They're trying to stay pure. They're trying to not go along with the rest of the world." And Satan is able to sit there, and all the time he can sit there and go, "No, look at this. Have somebody send you something. Look at this. Look at this." And get you into the same floozy mindset and destroy your family. It's Satan. You've got to see it for what it is. It's Satan trying to destroy you. Go to Genesis 44:4. We're going to look at something else here. But the next item, number 3 on the list in Deuteronomy, was a soothsayer, one who causes to appear, conjure up apparitions. Oh, so let's conjure up Mary. Let's see what Mary has to say. You know, we saw an apparition. We saw Mary, and she told us these prophecies. Has that ever happened in the Catholic Church? It's all a big deal. It's a big deal. Oh, the teardrops of Mary came, and so thousands, hundreds of thousands of Catholics will go to a place where soothsaying is happening. An abomination to God. One who interprets omens, divination. That would be like tea leaf reading or tarot cards or astrologers. Do people go to the astrology page? Will people go to tarot card reading? Even McDonald's, they said, "Hey, you know, if you use our new app and you buy yourself some French fries, we'll give you a McDouble and an entry into this famous tarot card reader, occultist, demonic guy." That's how popular witchcraft has become in our country. And I said Genesis 44:4. I want you to see this, that Joseph, who was not a witch, a sorcerer, a witchcraft of using divination, but he planted his cup into the bag of Benjamin's sack, and then sent his guys after his brothers are leaving, not knowing that Joseph was their brother. Hope everybody understands the story, right? If you don't, man, you haven't been reading your Bible. You're in a serious heap of trouble. So anyway, he says, "Don't you know I can use divination?" And that puts a scare on people. If you can tea leaf read and you can tarot card read and you can know what's going on, I'm a psychic. Is psychic phenomena a big deal today? Growing in leaps and bounds. And I was ahead of my time in the 70s. I got my dad into the New Age, and he stayed in the New Age. He became very good friends with the most powerful psychic in Denver at the time, a lady named Kizzy. And my dad was wanting to prove psychic phenomena, so reel-to-reel tape recorder going while this lady reads my tea leaves. Now, when I look at a cup with some tea leaves in the bottom, I go, huh, dregs need to be thrown in the trash. But tea leaf readers, and they, you know, I had to write my, this is the way she did it. I wrote my birth date on a piece of paper. And then she takes it, she folds it up, she just rips it up, she goes into the kitchen to do her tea leaf thing, which I don't know exactly what she did. And she comes back and she starts telling me stuff she could not have known about my past. And I'm thinking at the time, wow, there's power. Where there's power, it must be real, must be truth, must be whatever. And, you know, long story, I could go on and on with that story, but again, there's not enough time. But one thing that she then also said things in the future, which some of which came true, but the day I became a Christian, all of what she said stopped. And so who knows? But see, one thing Satan is not allowed to do, according to the Bible, is he's not allowed to know the future. But these demons, they can guess. They can guess where my life's going to go and tell her to tell me where my life's going to go. And my life would have gone there because the demons know who I am. They know how corrupt and where I'm headed. But as soon as, and they know what I've done, so they're able to tell a diviner what I've done to impress me, to then deceive me into the occultic world, which is happening all over the world. I don't read astrology pages. I don't read fortune cookies. I have to tell my mind, I'm not going to take any input from the occultic world, which I almost swallowed me up and chewed me up and spit me out into hell. So, sorcerer, one who uses drugs involved in casting spells, etc. And I'll ask you to read Acts chapter 13, verse 4 through 12, where Paul, on his missionary journey, first missionary journey, goes to the island of Cyprus. And there's a really powerful proconsul there, a Roman government official. But he has a Jewish sorcerer that is his right-hand guy. Why? Well, if you're going to be a powerful person, you want somebody that can have psychic phenomena and wisdom and power to then protect you and to keep the other demons away. And so as soon as Paul tries to give the gospel to this proconsul, the sorcerer is doing everything he can. No, don't listen to these guys. They're wicked and stuff. And what Paul did, Paul, verse 10, Acts chapter 13, verse 10, and said, "Oh, full of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil." Psychic phenomena people, people involved in witchcraft, the occult, Ouija boards, tarot cards, all that stuff, are sons, daughters of the devil. They are there to deceive people away from the truth. "You enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? And now indeed the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time." And immediately a dark mist fell on him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Very, very similar to when Moses goes before Pharaoh and he throws his staff down, and his staff becomes a serpent. And now think about this, because Pharaoh said to his magicians, his occultists, he goes, "I've seen better. Come on, magicians, do your thing." They threw their staffs down. They became serpents. Now, is that possible? No, it's not possible unless there's demonic powers, unbelievable powers of demons involved. But then what did God do? He let Moses, a serpent, eat up the other ones. So really the sorcerer is able to cause, you know, curse people and make them go blind or do this or do that. And what Paul says, to prove to this man who I want to share the gospel with, that your powers of Satan don't be God's power of divine providence, you're blind, you're cursed. And so he went blind. And so then the proconsul just said, "You know, I think I'll listen to Paul." And we have to understand that greater is he that is in us, but it's by the name of Jesus, it's by being filled with the Holy Spirit of God to be truly born again. If you're not truly born again and you're out in the demonic world, you're in a heap of trouble today. You gotta be born again. And I've run into demoniacs, and I've shared this story before, and The power of Jesus' name from a true believer does trump their powers. Deuteronomy 18:11, one who conjures spells, a medium or spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. 6, one who conjures up spells, a charmer. You know, somebody who wants to be able to control people by charming. You know, Pokemon. You know, Pokemon, the kids got all into Pokemon. Oh, I've got this card here and this card. If I've got this card, I bought this card, and now this card will get rid of that bad guy that's messing with me in school. And playing with powers of cards. Spending huge amounts of money. And everything else, it's witchcraft. It's another form of witchcraft. Harry Potter, the same thing. I can't remember when Harry Potter, the first book first came out. Well, I think it was over in Leavenworth. Funny, and I were over in Eastern Washington. I think it was Leavenworth. Went into a bookstore. And I was talking to this lady that was running the bookstore. She was, you know, talking about Jesus. And I go, why do you even promote Harry Potter? And she goes, oh, kids are reading. I mean, I'm so amazed that finally kids are starting to read. What's wrong with Harry Potter? And I go, you know, I bet you she never wrote out the law of God. I bet you she didn't have a Bible that she carried with her. I bet you went to a church that didn't have a pastor that would teach them the Word of God so that they could have a fear of God. And she has no idea what that's going to do. That's the first Harry Potter book. Have we gotten witchcraft in our society because of Harry Potter? And I just saw it. Why did I see it? Because I see Deuteronomy chapter 18. And this is occultism. It's Satan getting his foot into the door with everybody getting into witchcraft and their brooms and everything else. It's not a game. It's not fun. It's not, oh, it's just a story making them read. No, Satan was, read it. Believe it. Mediums, familiar spirits, Ouija boards, you know. How many have played with a Ouija board? You sinners, good thing Jesus died for you. I did too. In fact, my sister wrote, she went back looking at her diary, because we were kind of good pagan kids for a while until Satan got into our family. And she goes, Kevin, after she became a believer, she went back and she looked. I've shared this story before. And she said, Kevin, you know, when I started just cussing and we started sneaking out at night and rebelling and all this other stuff, it was actually right when we played the Ouija board that we were allowing satanic powers to come into our life. Now, I'm not a faker person, never was, even as a pagan. And when I, you know, you sit down there and it starts to move, you go, you moving it? And the other person goes, no, I'm not moving it. Well, I'm not moving it. So there was something there. There were powers. I had no protection. I was an unbelieving kid, didn't know a thing about the Bible, raised in an unbelieving, godless parents. And I was getting into demonic activity with a Ouija board. Seances, we would try and levitate. We would try and conjure up ascended masters. My dad even had us doing it. Spiritist, one who deals with knowing of familiar spirits, a channeler. My dad was trying to take courses on hand at how to channel spirits of the other world to then give messages to people. Call up the dead, necromancy. People call, you know, people wanting to talk to the dead. Though for all those who do, Deuteronomy 18:12, for all those who do these things are an abomination to the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out from before you. There's real powers of Satan behind this. And God has to get rid of it because it goes into immoralities, child sacrifice, bestiality, all this stuff, to the point where the country is so destroyed by Satan that God says, I'm sending you Jews in there to clean it up. Don't you do what they did. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God, for these nations which you will dispossess listened to soothsayers, diviners, but as for you, the Lord your God has not appointed such for you. They do it, you don't. They buy Harry Potter books and movies and paraphernalia, you don't. They go to movies that glorify witchcraft. You don't. And if you're even looking at it, you should be so discerning. This is wicked. This is evil. This is destroying. If you think it's just fun and games, it's just a musical or whatever else, then you're greatly deceived. This is Satan coming into our culture. And it's been going on for a long time. When Winnie and I, we moved to, I was in the Navy, went from my submarine to shore duty in Saratoga Springs, New York. And I found a flight for her to go home and visit her family in California. $99 round trip. That shows you how long ago it was. And so I go, you go home and visit your family, because we were in Hawaii and we're over here in New York. You go home, I'll stay here. And I found out that there was a psychic fair at the mall in Saratoga Springs. And so I thought, you know what, because I'm just freshly out of the New Age, fresh, you know, still a relatively young Christian, but I've read Deuteronomy, and I know what it says. So I took this, Deuteronomy 18, and I said, I'm going to get it typed up, and I'm going to hand it to the people at the mall, trying to counter what the occultists are doing there, to warn them. But I didn't have a typewriter. They had typewriters back then. But there was a friend of ours from the church that had an art gallery, Day Springs Gallery. And he had a secretary bookkeeper person. And he says, Kevin, yeah, you know, you do that. I'll have my secretary do this for you. She'll type it up for you. She's a good typist. So I wrote it up and typing it. Unknown to me, she is the astrologer of Saratoga Springs. But she's not, you know, putting a spell on it or anything. She actually typed it up. And did you know it was her typing that up that caused her to get saved? She moved in with us for a while, got discipled into the truth. We, you know, shame on us. We didn't keep track of her, except that she married a pastor. So, but she typed it up. And then, unfortunately, I hadn't learned ask for forgiveness instead of permission first. And so I went to the mall management and said, okay, I'm, you know, the mall, you allow these psychic people to be in here. I want to pass this out to the people. Oh, no, you're not going to do that, because they paid money to be here. And so you can't do that. And I said, well, can I give it to them? He goes, yeah, you can give it to them. But you can't give it to the people. And so I'm just walking up to, it's like in the kiosk kind of areas of the mall, you know. And so I'm walking up like this, and I'm just walking to get up to be them. And this one guy that sees me, he goes, that's about Jesus, isn't it? I knew. And I said, yeah, but even the demons knew that Jesus was coming. And so this is a testimony not of your psychic powers. It's a testimony that Jesus is the truth. And I gave it to him. I gave it to the other ones. Never knew what happened there. But I want to emphasize, how could they know? How could they have known? I mean, I didn't have my normals not coming back, Jesus is, or any of the other t-shirts. I was just dressed normally. He knew because the demons told him. And they impress people with their powers. So there's powers behind this demonic activity. We must stay away from it. Have nothing to do with it. Don't let it in your house. And I'm talking, you know, Frozen movies. Disney has made it their mission to contaminate this country with witchcraft. And along with all the other stuff that they're doing. We have to be careful, watchful. Resist the devil and he will flee from us. If we invite him into the house, bad things will happen. Father, we thank you for your word. God, we just rejoice that we can read things that are 3,500 years ago and just stand in awe that the same spiritual enemy of our souls, Satan, is doing the same tricks he was doing thousands of years ago. Only this time we see it creeping into our country, actually being embraced by probably most of the country in a way that we know how it'll end, Lord, for those that have been deceived. And we grieve for them, and we pray that you'd help us to witness to them. And we just pray that you would help us, God, to stay untouched from the lies of the enemy, that we could serve you, walk with you, be protected as family, protect our children from the wicked one who wants to deceive them into the ways of the world to destroy their souls. Because we know you're coming home soon to get us, to take us to the true home in heaven. And we want our children to be there. We want our relatives and friends to be there. And help us, God, to be used of you and protected. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Stand and worship God in this song. The Lamb of God that took away the sins of the world so that we could come to him to be washed clean of sin, forgiven for all the sins and rebellion against God, to give us a new life and a new heart. Let's serve him with that new life, that new heart, until he does take us to be with him. God bless you, keep you in his care. In Jesus' name.